If you have a broken relationship in your life, how do you repair it? Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe once again looks at the story of Joseph and how he modeled repairing a very damaged family relationship and how you can do the same today. He'll begin in just a moment. In her powerful six-message series, Searching, Jill Briscoe explores the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes to answer your heart's deepest questions, such as, why do I matter? Where do I find joy? And what do I really want? We'll send you a copy of this resource as thanks for your gift today to help others experience life in Christ. This offer ends this week, so call today to request your copy of Searching, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with advice on how to repair relationships.
One of the reasons that we're studying the life of Joseph is that he is spoken of so warmly and so positively in Scripture. He is spoken of as being a prince among his brothers. Even people who didn't understand his faith life said, can we find a man such as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Even people who were opposed to him began to recognize the qualities in this man. And when his old father was about to die, he blessed Joseph, and he summed up Joseph's career by saying, he is a fruitful vine. In other words, we're studying the life of Joseph to find out how our lives can be productive, how our lives can be positive, how our lives can bring glory to God and blessing to people wherever we go. One of the things that we're going to discover today in this particular section of the story is this, that if our lives are to be lived productively, we've got to come to terms with the fact that our lives have to be lived in the context of relationships. You cannot live productively if you're not living well relationally. You cannot live productively if you're not living well relationally. Why is that? For the very simple reason that we were created as relational beings. We are created by God, first of all, to have a relationship with him. And on the basis of that relationship with him, then to have healthy, fruitful relationships with other people. Now, it stands to reason, if that is what we're wired up for, we are required to live well relationally if we are to live productive lives. You remember right in the very beginning of the Bible, it says that when God created man, he looked at man and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he made him a partner. He made somebody with whom he could relate. This was clearly something right from the very beginning of creation. Human beings are created for relationships. Now, it stands to reason, therefore, that if we are created for relationships, but the relationships are not being handled wisely and well, there is no way in which we can be satisfied with the productivity of our lives. And so it's appropriate for us to ask the question, how do we repair broken relationships? I think we can learn something from this incident in Joseph's life. There are four things that I want you to notice concerning the repairing of broken relationships. The first one is this. We need to start out by evaluating relationships realistically. In other words, let's take a good hard look at what relationships are all about, because if we don't understand what they're about, then it is highly unlikely we'll be evaluating them correctly. We evaluate relationships realistically when we accept the fact that there are at least three dimensions to relationships. Relationships are designed, first of all, to provide loving protection for people. We need to be protected against need. We need to be protected against danger. We need to be protected against evil. We are incredibly vulnerable people. People who insist on living in isolation very, very often will find that their fundamental needs are not met. And it can actually happen even in our culture. We need to be protected from the things that would come into our life, the needs that will keep life going, the dangers to which we are exposed, the evil that will so easily trip us up. What a wonderful thing it is to be part of a relationship where somebody is saying genuinely and honestly, I love you, I care for you, I'm worried about your needs being met, and I will invest my life in seeing they are met. I'm concerned about the dangers to which you might be exposed, and I will do all that I can to protect you, even with my own life. And I'm concerned that evil can encroach in your life, and I promise you, I will be on the lookout for you. I will love you. I will care for you. I will succor you. I will pray for you. I'll stand with you. Relationships. Relationships are about protection. Relationships are about inspection. It stands to reason that if we are going to be concerned about the encroachment of evil, the encroachment of danger, then we need to have careful insight into the person that we love and are concerned about. So great is our concern in terms of inspecting what is going on in their lives, inspecting what the circumstances of their life are, that we will be willing to take the risk of bringing the third thing, which is loving correction. Correction that is designed to build up. Correction that is designed to bring improvement. Correction that is designed to bring each other to maturity. Inspection, correction, protection. These are the things that we lovingly provide for each other. Obviously, they can go wrong. Obviously, people can fail to provide the protection. Obviously, people, instead of protecting people from danger, can introduce them to danger. And sadly, in some relationships, instead of protecting each other from evil, sometimes we can actually lead each other into evil. Sometimes our actions are so deficient that our reactions become destructive. And the tragedy of our culture is this, that very, very often those relationships that are designed to encourage, that are designed to upbuild, that are designed to be the means whereby we mature and grow, become in actual fact the very means whereby we destroy each other and our personalities deteriorate into something that is utterly, utterly disappointing and even disgusting. Now, I think it would be appropriate for us just to ask ourselves an honest question here. Am I part of relationships that are fundamentally upbuilding, encouraging, and maturing? Am I involved in relationships that are the opposite? Because we're wired up for relationships, and we cannot think realistically about living wisely and well if we're not living wisely and well in the area of relationships. We need to evaluate relationships realistically. Number two, we need to accept responsibility individually. We need to accept responsibility individually. Now, what does that mean? Rather interesting to notice that when Joseph has his brothers down there in front of him, and they are, as they think, exposed, and they recognize that he is absolutely in control, and there's not a thing they can do about it, it's rather interesting to notice that at this moment, Judah stands up.
How are you doing with protecting and inspecting your relationships? Stuart Briscoe will be right back with more.
Advertisements promise happiness if you'll buy what they're selling. Success, money, and relationships promise fulfillment if you can attain them. But when your heart is longing for something real, something that truly satisfies, none of these deliver. That's because the deepest longings of your soul aren't found in anything the world has to offer. But they are waiting for you in Scripture. Joel Briscoe wants to help you discover the hope, purpose, and security your heart is searching for in her 6-message series, Searching. This powerful study examines the book of Ecclesiastes to help you find the serenity, sense of wisdom, significance, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. This enlightening resource is our thanks for your gift today to help reach more people around the world with the message of God's love through the resources and teaching of telling the truth. But remember that this offer ends this week, So call today to request your copy of The Searching Series. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Tell Me the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Tell Me the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Tell Me the Truth on our mobile app. Now, here's Stuart to continue how to repair relationships.
Judas stands up to be counted, and he comes up with a very fascinating monologue in which he speaks very powerfully, very passionately to Joseph. What he does, in effect, is take ownership of the situation. Now, he does this by avoiding three common tactics. Tactic number one, when we have broken relationships that are sadly in need of repair, sometimes we engage in the tactic of generalization. The tactic of generalization goes something like this. Judah looks at his brothers and said, well, it wasn't my idea, it was your idea. And the other guy said, it wasn't my idea, it was your idea. And they begin to bounce the thing around among themselves. And in the end, they decide they're all involved. And because everybody's involved, it's nobody's fault. And that's just too bad. And that's how things are. The tactic of generalization is all too common in our culture at the present time. When we have broken relationships, very, very often people are simply saying, that's how it is. That's how it works. That's how it happens. That's what relationships are like. Nothing you can do about it. Suck it up. Hang in there. Do your best. Look out for yourself. Judah teaches us that that is not the way to deal with it. For remember, deep-rooted problems rarely yield to superficial solutions. And what could be more superficial than simply to generalize and say, because everybody is misbehaving, misbehavior is all right. The second tactic that he avoided was the tactic of evasion. This is an all too common one. When there are broken relationships, we simply say, I will evade any responsibility that I have in this situation, and I'll simply look out for me. And I don't care what happens to anybody else, just so long as I come out ahead in this broken situation. Joseph says to his brothers, I don't need to keep all of you here. I let all of you go except the boy in whose sack the silver cup was found. Immediately, there probably was a thought in some of the minds of those men, and they thought to themselves, wow, if we could just offer Benjamin here, we're in the clear. If we can just leave Benjamin here, we're out of here. We don't need to deal with this issue at all. We can just split. We can head for the exit. Judah avoids that one. He says, in effect, we've got to deal with this thing, and we've got to deal with it realistically. Which leads to the third tactic that people sometimes use, and that is the tactic of rationalization. We rationalize the situation. Judas says something really quite interesting. He says, in the midst of this situation, God has uncovered our guilt. Did you notice that? God has uncovered our guilt. Now, think of that for a minute. In actual fact, the issue at hand was the silver in their sacks and the cup in Benjamin's sack. They had not put the silver in the sack. They had not put the cup in Benjamin's sack. They were innocent of these things. They knew they were innocent of these things. Why in the world does Judas say, God has uncovered our guilt? And the answer is, he wasn't referring to that. He was referring to that thing that always came to the surface when he and his brothers were under pressure. You know what it was? That unresolved guilt of what they had done to Joseph years and years before. And if they weren't prepared to deal with that, there was no way in which they were going to be able to handle this resolution properly. And Judah, instead of simply rationalizing the situation and saying, well, we're all like this, you know, well, it's our circumstances. Well, our father was no great shakes either. Well, if you look at our grandfather, he wasn't the greatest character either. In fact, there's something in my genetic makeup that gives me a proclivity to this kind of behavior. And therefore, I guess even God knows that, and therefore there's nothing I need to do it. He doesn't say any of that. He says, God has uncovered my guilt. For if there's going to be a repairing of relationships, it has something to do with evaluating relationships realistically and facing up to responsibility individually and avoiding evasion, avoiding rationalization, and avoiding generalization. It leads to the third thing. The third thing that I need to be prepared to do is to approach this situation in such a way that I am prepared to engage in repentance genuinely. Genuine repentance. This is what repentance sounds like. I did it. I was wrong. I deeply regret it. And I won't repeat it. I did it. I was wrong. I deeply regret it. And I won't repeat it. For repentance has to do with a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. It is not being sorry you got caught, and it is not being sorry it hurts, and it is not saying that if anybody got hurt by some mistake that I may possibly have made. It is simply admitting, I did it, what I did was wrong, I deeply regret doing what I did, and I promise you, God helping me, there'll be no repetition of the behavior. We're made for relationships. We're wired up to relate. But there's no way that we can think that we're living productively, wisely, and well if our relationships are in disarray. What then do we need to do? We need to evaluate our relationships realistically. We need to accept responsibility individually. We need to be willing for repentance genuinely. And fourthly, we need to be prepared to engage in restitution. Realistically. Restitution. What does it have to do with repentance in a broken relationship? Well, what it has to do is simply this, that I not only say I did it, I was wrong, I deeply regret it, I won't repeat it, but I go a step further and I say this, and to the extent that I am able to do it, I will restore unto you that of which you were robbed. To the extent I am able to do it, I will undo the damage for which I am responsible. To the extent that I am able to do it, I will invest something positive into your life, given the fact that I have done untold damage to you. Restitution. Now, there's a verse that I want to conclude with, and it brings this whole thing down into sharp focus. It's a wonderful verse from the Epistle to the Romans, and this is what it says. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Notice very carefully, it doesn't say, live at peace with all men, period. It's much more realistic than that. It says, if it is possible. And it says, as much as it depends on you. Then it says, live at peace with all men. For the realism of the thing is this, that you may, with the best will in the world, grieve deeply the broken relationships that are part of your life. And you may say to yourself, it is such a heart-sick side of my life. I would do absolutely anything to resolve this issue. And you have tried and you have tried and you have tried and you've tried. And it almost seems that you're hitting a brick wall. And sometimes it's even worse. The brick wall comes down crashing on top of you. Be encouraged. Scripture does not say that you are responsible to make sure that every relationship is right. Scripture does say that you are responsible to make sure that every relationship, as far as you are concerned, is what it ought to be. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for them. Now, in actual fact, the extent to which I fulfill my responsibility in a relationship well will, to a very real extent, determine how well, very often, the other person will respond, but there's no guarantee. But one thing we can be assured of is this, that if we are simply glibly ignoring the fact that we are in bad relationships We're simply shrugging our shoulders, generalizing, evading, rationalizing, refusing to accept individual responsibility, unwilling to identify guilt, unready to come to a point of confession and forgiveness before the Lord, and a willingness to reach out in restitution. To the extent that we're not prepared to do those things, we're at fault. And we need to take seriously this whole business of repairing relationships.
Stuart Briscoe will return in just a moment to answer questions about relationships with hard people and how he's seen relationships restored. King Solomon spent a lifetime learning that lasting happiness can't be found in possessions, success, money, or relationships. What he discovered millennia ago is still true today. Your heart's deepest longings are found only in God and His Word. That's the subject of Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching, which is our thanks for your gift today to help more people experience life through the resources of telling the truth. Walk with Jill as she looks at Solomon's life in the book of Ecclesiastes to help you find the serenity, wisdom, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. Generous friends like you keep broadcasts like this one going, reaching others with God's love and grace so they can live with purpose and significance in Jesus. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today to help keep God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of Searching when you call and give. But don't wait, because the special offer on this resource ends very soon. Call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart to answer a few questions about repairing relationships. Stuart, how should a believer deal with a broken relationship when the biggest regret of the other person is simply that they got caught?
I must admit that I have had no personal experience of this, but I have been told it takes two to tango. I can make no comments on that, but having brought you that profound truth, let me also add, it takes two to have a relationship. It takes two to have a relationship. And if you are in a relationship where the other person is abusing that relationship and is not prepared to work on that relationship, there is a limit to what you can do, as the question goes, to save it. And I think what we have to recognize is this, that we are not necessarily responsible to save a relationship that the relational partner does not want to work on. What we are responsible to do, however, is to behave appropriately in a broken relationship. We are responsible for that. I don't know how many counseling situations I've been in where a marriage is falling apart. One partner has sued for divorce. It's no fault divorce. If they ask for a divorce, they'll get it. There's nothing the other person can do. I say to them, I don't know what you can do to save this marriage, but I do know what you can do to be able to walk away from this situation, deeply hurt, deeply abused, but holding your head high and knowing that before the Lord you acted with integrity. You may not be able to save a relationship. You can conduct yourself correctly and appropriately in a broken relationship.
Stuart, would you tell us about a relationship that you've seen restored?
Well, having spent my life dealing with relationships, I've seen every kind of broken relationship. I've seen many of them that were irretrievably broken and they never were restored. I've seen some that looked at first as if there was hope, and then the hope was dashed. And then, of course, there are other occasions where we have seen broken relationships restored. And without going into names or details, one of my very, very close friends was divorced from his wife. And
I think she has some pretty good reasons. He was an inveterate alcoholic. He was a mean dude. But then he became to faith in Christ. There was such a change in his life that his former wife remarried him. they married. When they began to establish their home, eventually they had five children. And then they got into refugee ministry. And to cut a long story short, their refugee ministry took them out to the Far East to see where the refugees came from. And they've been there ever since. And they are two of our most effective missionaries and have been for about 30 years.
Thanks, Stuart. Before we go, we want to remind you that through the end of this week only, when you give to support Telling the Truth broadcasts like this one, we'll say thanks by sending you Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This encouraging resource will help you uncover the source for lasting significance and satisfaction straight from God's Word. Again, the special offer ends this week, so please request your resource when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Next time on Telling the Truth, more from the Briscoes about how you can experience abundant life in Christ. We'll see you then.